The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When my son was a senior in high school, parents were offered the opportunity to purchase a quarter page or half a page or even a full page of the Bainbridge High School yearbook. There are a couple people back there that I know may have had part of an experience of that. Parents could do anything within the confines of good taste with their purchase. Brilliant student marketers invited parents to fill the pages with childhood photos and pithy sayings to make their student's page a tribute or perhaps a joke. The response was fabulous, at least in the eyes of the parents, who rushed to fill pages with all manner of things, both meaningful and embarrassing. I'm not sure that the students were thrilled. There were the awkward age pictures of people who hadn't yet grown into their teeth or their ears or their noses. There were the less than graceful ballerina recital pictures and the swing and a miss baseball photos. There were funky family pictures that surely had meaning for moms and dads, but not so much for the student body. And of course, there were the victorious "good job" potty training pictures that I'm sure horrified more than one BHS senior. I decided to take another tack. In my little quarter of a page, I posted one of Simon's favorite Thoreau quotes, "Go confidently in the direction of your dreams." I also wrote a personal note I can't remember all of, but I do remember the last line. "Remember to look at the light. Look, honey, look at the light." If I said that once to my son in his growing up years, I said it 100 times. I said it at least that many times to Jim and he to me. We say it because looking at the light and watching the light change gives us pause, cultivates curiosity, and helps us appreciate the vastly changing beauty of a creation that is vibrant and alive. Remember to look at the light. Remember to pause. Remember to lift your eyes from your paper, from your book, from your screen. Remember to notice the incredible changing beauty around you. Remember to look at the light. As we move out of the season of Christmas and into the season of Epiphany, there will be a great deal of looking at the light. The word Epiphany means manifest, seen, recognized, known. And in the church season of Epiphany, we're offered wonderful opportunities to look at the light, to look for the light, to look to the light, and maybe even to become the light. The season of Epiphany is the season of light. Watching and waiting in the dark of Advent is behind us, and the Christ light that was born in that little stable in Bethlehem is about to spread far beyond the cows and the sheep and the shepherds and the Holy Family. Epiphany, the day the wise ones reached the manger, guided by a light so bright that they found their way from far-off foreign lands, heralds the season to remind us that the light of Christ is for everyone. Remember the words of the prophet Isaiah, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, all the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Remember to look at the light. It's the same admonition John the Baptist offers us this morning, the same admonition he offers all throughout his ministry. Look, here is the Lamb of God. Here is the one who takes away the sin of the world. Here is the one who will bring an end to our separation from God. Here is the one who is himself the light. The scripture passages we hear in Epiphany offer us the opportunity to look at and to consider the many ways Jesus, the Christ light, reveals himself to us and to the world. And while that all sounds sort of heady, Jesus actually makes it very simple. John the Baptist cries, "Look!" And Jesus asks, "What are you looking for?" What are you looking for? Does something come immediately to mind when you hear that question, or do you need a little time? Close your eyes, breathe deeply. What are you looking for? Those are the very first words Jesus speaks in John's Gospel, you know. It's a good question. What are you looking for? This isn't always an easy question to answer, and like many of us who don't know the answer when confronted with a difficult question, Andrew and his companion responded with a question of their own. "Teacher, where are you staying?" What? Doesn't make sense. Sounds like a random response. Question: what are you looking for? Answer: where are you staying? Next answer: come and see. And so they do. They follow Jesus to the place where he's staying, and because it's late in the day, they stay. They abide with Jesus for the duration. What are you looking for? Where are you staying? While these would-be followers of Jesus answer his question with a question of their own, I think perhaps their question that stands in for an answer, in the end, really is their answer. Listen. What are you looking for? We're looking for where you are staying. We are looking for where you are teaching. We are looking for what you are teaching. We are looking for you. They may not have realized that was their answer, but it was. We are looking for you. And what does Jesus say in reply? Come and see. Come and sit with me. Come, abide with me. This word abide is a very important word and a very important idea for John. Jesus uses this word over and over again to describe the way he is in relationship with the Father and the way we can be in relationship with him. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide with me. Doesn't seem like much, does it? But sometimes abiding with God, or being the love of God, the light of Christ as we abide with one another, sometimes that is really the most important thing we do. I learned this as a mother, as a partner, as a daughter, as a hospital chaplain, as a caretaker, as a pastor, as a commuter, as a human among other humans, some very like me and some utterly unlike me. Being the love of God, the light of Christ, being truly present with one another is so important that it is the defining factor of discipleship for John. While this story doesn't have the same feel as the stories of the fishermen dropping their nets or the tax collector leaving his booth, this is, in John's gospel, the first story of Jesus calling his disciples. It's important to notice that Jesus doesn't begin with commandments, doesn't assign them tasks and work, doesn't begin a training regimen of any kind. It doesn't even sound like he's doing any significant instructing. He simply invites Andrew, his unnamed companion, and Simon to come and see, to abide with him, to be in relationship with him. And he does that because being in relationship is the most important part of being a disciple. That's the way Jesus invites us into discipleship too. It's the way Andrew invited his brother Simon into discipleship, and it's the way we can invite others in too. Not by assigning tasks and work, not by telling people what we think they need to know, not by discussing right and wrong, good and bad, holy and not holy. The way we invite others into discipleship is by abiding in God and abiding with each other. The love of God, the light of Christ, is so big, so bright, so beautiful that we are all drawn to it. That light is the thing we are all looking for. And when we find it, here's what happens. We become the light. We abide in the light, and the light abides in us. And we become the light. In this season of Epiphany, let's not be shy about being that light for somebody, or maybe even anybody we meet. Let's remember to look at the light. Let's be the light. Let's remember what we heard in the Christmas story. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And then they began to reflect that light, to let it shine in their own stories. We are those people, my dears. We have seen a great light, and we are now a part of that light. The Christ light in you is what the whole world is looking for. So shine on, beloved. Shine on. Amen.